I think it's we've got an hour. There's masses to talk about. I have spotted a certain person in the audience.
Uh-oh.
Sue Virtue.
Oh, Sue Virtue. That's why.
who, of course, is the producer of Sherlock and is.
A hit or a failure, actually, my dear.
Failure. Oh, I keep trying to decommission
I think we know the answer to that.
Disaster.
Although, of course, we would probably like at least 20 episodes of that in one go.
I wouldn't. They wouldn't be good.
Oh, they would.
And they wouldn't be. Maggie, they really, really wouldn't be. This is the thing that's really interesting. Yeah, we could commission 20. It wouldn't be written by Stephen Moffat. It wouldn't have Benedict Cumberbatch in. So
Look, I've got to get my question in. Sue, I mean, you've heard. I mean,
isn't she asking the question?
Sorry, I've got to let. I'm going. I'm sorry.
You're overexcited.
I am overexcited, definitely.
So am I.
It's a bit early in the morning. Sue, yes, please ask your question. I was actually going to say she's a director of Hartswood Films, which makes Sherlock and many other things.
Was that the question?
No, I was introducing you because I'd asked. I'd picked one.
First of all, I want to go over various things. Hartswood Films is a small company not owned by any other indie.
I bet they'd love to own you, though, Sue.
Hmm?
I bet people would love to own you.
They have asked. Which we make through BBC Wales, big fans of BBC Wales. Also big fans of the licence fee. I think the BBC should be showing off more what people get per day for their money. I don't think they do that. Also, because we're a small company, we're part of that 25%, and we're always pushing up against the WOC, and I know that you'll find it very difficult because you can't commission some things because of the WOC, which means I am actually in favour of for them being an independent production company. However...
Oh, she's pointing a pen.
However, and I know it's early days and it hasn't been worked out yet. And you will carry on commissioning the best ideas. Fair enough. Ish.
Yeah, no problem.
The thing is, it's got to be a level playing field. And the thing is, we've never been able as independents to find out what the cost per hour is from in-house. We just can't find it. There are no budgets there. And I think the problem is, I know what's in my bank account, and therefore I know how much money I can spend to develop things. I know I've got some more Sherlock's coming out. That gives me a sense of... relief, really. But I also know if I need to phone a lawyer, I pay for that. If I want to find a clearance, I pay for that. What's going to happen when it's a production company? I mean, EastEnders now, I don't know how much that new set's being built, 15 million or something, you know, but that's going to be thrown into that new production company. Here's your set. Here's your guarantee of X hundreds of hours the next year. No other production company has that. So the thing is, although you might be going for the best idea, they are going to have so much more money to develop that best idea. And I don't know how anyone's going to carve out how that production works and what their bank account is, in a way.
So it's a plea for transparency, that's what
you're
saying.
It's a plea for transparency.
And level playing.
I'm happy with competition. I'll go with the competition. There's no difference there. I think they should be out there. But we need to know...
I mean, from a level playing field point of view, I completely agree, and there's been loads of conversations about should they have a first look, shouldn't they have a first look with us. I don't believe they should, because I think you're either independent or you're not. There isn't an in-between. So this is all a conversation, all between us. Obviously, it'll never be reported. But my feeling is that first look's not right, personally, because, as I say, you either are or you aren't. So I think that's absolutely right. And I mean, I don't know whether they will have that money to develop, you know, shows like EastEnders and Holby and Casualty, they don't deliver a huge amount back into the system. These aren't commercial shows. They are made on a, you know, very, very tight budget. I actually think what's going to be really interesting, and there's a massive cultural shift, is at the moment, in-house have a development budget, which is quite considerable because they can't develop for other channels, and because part of their remit is new talent and green shoots development, that money won't exist anymore. That money will come.
How much is it? How much is it?
We can't say specifically, but you know, it's a good amount of money. That money will come into commissioning in order to commission the ideas. That is a total change from in-house being able to commission their own scripts to having to do what all independents do, which is, you know, come and beg me or Polly or Matthew or whatever. So I actually think that shift is going to be a good shift. I think it's a healthy shift, but it's a massive cultural. And for me, the big thing I've been saying about in-house is it's got to feel really exciting for the people, but it's also got to feel like a cultural shift, because there is a massively different mindset from being a in-house producer to being a producer for any broadcaster in the world. And I think that shift has got to happen.
Are you worried? Are you worried that...
In terms of the comp... So, I don't know. I suppose
it's going to be an unfair competition.
Well, it could be an unfair competition. That's what I think we need to... You know,
yeah,
Waterloo Road was a mainstay of their company, and you axed that. Would you axe Casualty if that wasn't working for you? You wouldn't be allowed to, would you, for instance? That's what I'm...
I'd have to be. I mean, I'm happy... You know, there are lots of crosses and ticks that I have to look across the body of what I do constantly, but all of those I manage hopefully in a way that feels as creative. But if a show isn't delivering in the schedule, it can't be there anymore. I mean, Casualty is extraordinarily resilient and is still getting 5-6 million consolidated opposite Jungle People.
I've even heard Welsh accents in it too.
Yes, there are. I'd have to be able to be. I'd have to, and that will have to be part of the business model, which is some years you're like this and some years you're like this. That's how it goes.
You've still got to meet the 17% out of London production
Absolutely.
Quota, haven't
but
you?
That's not about in-house, that's a production quota and actually a huge
But
amount.
Then some of those areas are not very strong independents. I'm not necessarily talking about work.
No, but that doesn't mean that, you know, that other producers can't create programmes set somewhere else. So...
Do you understand Peter Salmon's fears? That
yeah, I think it's really good to articulate them. I absolutely do. In fact, I talked to him before he said all of that. I absolutely do, and I think that I don't think fears is right. I think, you know, it's not going to be my decision. It's not going to be actually anything to do with me. I'll have an opinion, but it's not going to be my business. My business is commissioning. My business is not in-house. But they've got to look under every nook and cranny. It's really, really important. And they are doing. It's incredibly thorough. You know, they're 2.5 years away from it.
Yeah.
And there are conversations every day.
Really?
So I don't know how anyone's getting any work done. That is work. All of that is really important. I don't think anyone can take, you know, any... you've got to look under every stone.
I'm sure there are more questions. Who's next? Please say your name.
Martin Ingram, Wales and Go. Think the principle of this commissioning production split is absolute? Can you have reserved areas outside news? Or to suggest...
Can you what, sorry?
Any reserved areas that aren't in...
Well, they are looking at reserved areas, aren't they? I mean, it is slightly out of my thing, but I think certainly in terms of the, non-live programming production areas, I would say that they are all eminently... capable of selling programmes to the BBC and to other broadcasters. Yes, I'm sure it's different for the new genres. I don't know. I genuinely have no idea.
Current Affairs is one that was being talked about, which was, Panorama. I mean, fairly shocking, I found. Children's, I think that's
Yeah, I guess there comes a point when you can't just keep making exemptions. Mm-hmm. I believe that in-house being able to go and be selling in the market is actually a sign of confidence in their creativity. But I'm absolutely sure in areas like news there are many conversations to have. I do not know the ins and outs of that.
Oh, the two areas actually that Tony Hall said were sacrosanct, this is back in July, were news, and I assumed Current Affairs, but I was obviously wrong, and live events, so that the BBC would have the ability retained in-house to always cover a royal funeral or a wedding.
Yeah, I'm sure that's...
All the rest of it. That I think, has to be the case, and they're... It's kind of like the gold standard for it. But apart from that, it would seem that everything else could go into this commercial company. But it hasn't got anywhere near the BBC Trust.
No, because obviously it was announced,
July,
as we said, 3 months ago. And what
is
important is that it's incredibly resilient and robust and really thought through, and that's going to take a lot of time.
Well, one of the panellists this morning referred to the report that came out about the efficiency savings at the BBC, And in the graph that that was talking about drama, it showed that there wasn't that much difference between the costs of in-house and independently supplied drama. So it didn't look as if there was a massive mismatch, is all I would say.
No, because we give this... No. No, I mean, I can tell because I give the tariffs.
And what do you think?
I give the tariffs. I don't give a tariff to in-house and give it into production. I give it to both for the right show. So, no, I don't see there's any mismatch, but...
All right, okay. I think there's a question... lots of questions. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking that way and I should have been... There's a forest of hands over there.
I'd like to ask Ben Stevenson whether any of Tony Gunn's charge sheet made him wince, specifically that of micromanagement.
I wouldn't know, I don't read it, but I'm not a micromanager.
Well, it did happen. I mean, he actually wrote his memo, I think it was in 2008, when Ben was particularly under attack for being Ben, I think.
I don't have much truck with his attacks on continuing drama. I find it incredibly patronising, I'm afraid, so... I just didn't read it. It's not particularly helpful to me.
I think he was particularly worried, though, about the individual... It's a constant theme, isn't it? The voice of the writer coming through.
And I think if you talk to the industry now, I think there are very few people saying that about the BBC. I think you might find about other broadcasters. But I think when you look at the writers that we work with, Jane Campion, Stephen Moffat, Tom Stoppard, Hugo
Peter
Blick,
Pete
Bowker... Mm. Sally Wainwright. I think these are not people that you can micromanage. I am not a micromanager. But he's entitled to his opinion. I've never actually made anything with him, so I don't quite know how he knows I'm a micromanager.
I thought you... Did you not work...
No, I've never worked with him.
But No Angels was made by his company, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, but I didn't.
World Productions.
He didn't work on it.
He didn't work on it, no. He did. Okay, and more questions?
David Donovan of Bechdo. It's quite entertaining so far, Ben, anyway.
Oh,
however,
good.
I should say to you that Bechdo is opposed to this proposal because it's going to destabilise the industry
yeah.
and it's going to destabilise the BBC. I do take issue with you on the driving force for a producer in-house vis-a-vis the independent sector. In my experience, what drives these people is creative excellence. And most people that I speak to in the BBC are extremely proud of one thing, in addition to that creativity, is that they're proud of being in the BBC, and their hallmark of success is being in the BBC. I'd like your opinion, though, on two things. Clearly, well, I believe there's going to be a potential here in the sense of the charter. It may quite well require a charter, an alteration to the charter as it is currently. And my concern is based on the infamous midnight deal which gave S4C a 40% cut and introduced DKOF, which was at the when this government came into power initially. So I'd like your views on the changes of the charter, but I'd also like your views on the sense of, forgive me, one second.
Oh, he's got facts and figures.
Yeah, no, it isn't that complicated, I assure you. Let's have a look. Yeah, when you were talking again about the frustration, forgive me, it's my phrase, frustration that you feel that the production sector is, it can only expand as far as the 50%. What area of growth do you expect to get from the independent sector if that barrier is broken down? Thank you.
I'd actually just throw the question back at you because they're all totally fair points in terms of the, you know, your opening, you know, frustration, which I completely, oh my God, which I completely understand. But I guess it's with the facts as they are, which I think are probably indisputable, what the alternatives are. Because I always think, you know, if we're disagreeing with something, which is totally fine, it's always useful to think, and the alternatives are what? Because the only two options I can see, we stay as we are, but there's no growth for anyone, and I have to say, I think that means I think the best people would leave, because if you're told that you can't win any more business than the business you've already got, you might as well go home, or do what's doing. And I guess it would just be really interesting throwing it back, which might be cheeky. What the, is there a third option that maybe hasn't been thought about?
Well, my experience, forgive me, Ben. My my experience is not that people are desirous of leaving the BBC, but bloody keeping them in there, frankly, because the successive rounds of redundancies has added to that feeling of insecurity. But not being too flippant in the sense of what could one do. The BBC could do something about its budgets, and that means it could have a vigorous argument with government over the charter and the renewal of the licence fee. That's what it could do.
I think it will have a vigorous argument, but nevertheless, you are stuck in a situation where, unless we change those... Well, we can't tell Endemol and Shine not to merge, that's happening. That, you know, buggers up, basically, the WOC, because it puts all of them in the WOC. So indies are then stuck with 25%. So that means that indies have probably the smallest area for shift they've had since I've been doing the job, certainly. And in-house, they still, you know, budget goes up, budget goes down. They still only have 50%. I mean, it's a lot, but it's what they do. It's less than what they do at the moment, actually. So you do essentially say this is less than what you've got. And, you know, I don't know about people who you've spoken to, but certainly people in my genre are saying, well, if I can only make what I'm already making and no more, literally no more, literally it cannot be commissioned, I'm not going to work there. I'll go and work at an independent where I can make as much as I want to make. So I do think that that is, and I agree with you, people love working at the BBC and all of that. It will remain a BBC company. I imagine it will be called BBC something. But I do think that that's the genuine, genuine issue at the heart of it.
Well, just a quick response. I don't want to hog the meeting, of course, but the quick response I would imagine would be you've already said that no more money would go into what I've interpreted as salaries. So however successful this proposal is, no individual, from what I understand you to have said, is going to see an increase in salary. If anybody wanted to be a top earner in this sector, they might already be
it's
in the
It's not about salaries,
sector.
Though. That's absolutely right. It's not about salaries. It's about how much work you can get. And what I'm talking about is if Faith in Wales is told, you cannot make any more drama because you're at the Phil, that's it, why on earth would she stay? Why? It's boring. You can't develop great ideas. If you have three great scripts and they want to be made, they're not going to be able to be made. I think that's... salaries, yes, we all accept that, but that's the issue. And I don't think that's acceptable for a creative organisation.
But your point is a good one, too. That
no, totally.
What needs to be addressed is whether there could be a more generous licence fee, because what happened in 2010 was sobering thing to witness, and it was brutal. And so the problem for the BBC, I mean, Ben has said how frightening it is.
Yeah, it is frightening. I think it's the most frightening period, it's definitely since I've been there, because I see the genuine amount, you know, how genuinely, given that the size of the organisation, there is no more flex.
No more flex.
So if there is a cut, the cuts are real. You know, there isn't an imaginary stationery office over there that's got gold toilets that we can just get rid of. The only way to do it is to get rid of programmes and...
Or services.
So, yes, I agree. More licence fee, I completely agree. We're in agreement there, definitely. How much growth? As much as is creative. I've no idea.
That's the problem, see. This is why we need more detail before we get into the ins and outs. Forgive me.
No, I agree.
More detail, but, you know, I believe that in-house will become stronger because of it, and I believe that ultimately, do you know what all I really care about is, are the best shows getting made, and are they delivering brilliant audiences for the BBC? And there comes a point when you've got to go, that is what we're about, making sure that the BBC offers the best shows to the audience. What's the best way of serving that? And I think we've just sometimes got to remember that, because the audience really don't care.
Do you think commissioners have got a bit too powerful? I mean, since you clearly, control the money, the production side.
Well, someone's got
side.
To, haven't they?
Well, this is what you said. There's a lady who's
Do you
got
want
the
to do it?
Hello.
Could that do with a break?
We'll return to that later.
Can you hear me? Yes. My name is Maura Messenger Davis, with the University of South Wales and also University of Ulster. Special interest in children's programming, actually. But I'm speaking as a licence fee payer. What's in this for me? If there is increased outsourcing, if the programmes that we love and my family loves no longer have that kind of BBC brand, am I going to be willing to support the licence fee? And the reason I'm asking this is that it is, you need the support of the public to sustain the licence.
But do you the know...
Hang on a sec. I mean, there's a lot of criticism of the BBC coming from the media, and it's being reported in the BBC.
Yes, it's annoying. Right?
And it seems to me that whatever plans the BBC has to support creativity, to do exciting, thrilling things, to enhance what goes on in Wales, etc., you have to have public support for the licence fee. Now, this is a very unique and unusual form of funding. Nobody really, I think, quite understands it. It isn't commercial. It's not a business. It means that I and my family have to pay up, okay? And it seems to me that what you have to do, and all the creative people and the management people have to do, is to sell the idea of a licence fee to the public. I don't think that's being done. I think there is a real danger, politically, of people not supporting it, and I think it ought to be an election issue, actually.
I completely...
But it isn't. You've got to make sure that me and my family understand why it's important.
I completely agree.
And what
agree.
I'm saying is this new plan to outsource production going to do that? And if it isn't, maybe you should think carefully about it.
I don't think the audience will give a damn.
I think they do.
Let me just finish my point, to be fair.
That's
but
where we disagree.
About who makes the programmes, as long as they're good. I mean, I guess I would say, does anyone look at The Missing and think, well, that's not a BBC programme because it's made by a commercial company? Lots of people are going, I love it. And, of course, it's got BBC branding. We developed it. We made it with them.
But is that still going to be possible?
Outsourcing is the wrong phrase. What it means is that, at the moment, sometimes I can't commission the project that I think is best for audiences because I have guarantees. It's as simple as that. So actually what we're talking about is more. It's not about outsourcing. It's about being able to commission the best ideas. So The Missing is an independent programme. We are talking about having an open field where the best idea will win. All of those are the best ideas. They're all made by the BBC. So I'm absolutely in agreement with what you're saying. What I'm saying is I don't believe audiences sit there and say, well, I really enjoyed The Missing, but I can't believe it wasn't made by in-house. It's not a BBC show. I think they go, they may not love it, but if they do, I loved it. It's amazing. It's worth paying the licence fee pay alone. That's what I'm aiming to do. That's my job. You know, I don't feel good at the end of the year if I say, well, your license fee's gone and, you know, that no one enjoyed your programs. I genuinely believe that my job ultimately is to give people great programs, whoever you are. That may mean you hate The Missing, but you love EastEnders. Great.
But my point is you need to get the audiences on side to support the continuation of the licence fee.
I agree.
And you're up against the Daily Mail, you're up against the Murdoch Empire, and so on.
Do you know what
I'm saying is you've got to sell it to the licence fee payers and say, what we're doing here is in your interest and we're using your money wisely, not to make money for us.
It's certainly not about making money for us, because obviously the corporate, the money that would be made by this commercial company would come back into the BBC, just as the worldwide money does. So it's all about that. I don't sit there doing anything other than I want to make great programmes that people want to watch, that gets us the licence fee. It's the best job I've got. The reason it's the best job is because it's public service, is because I'm allowed to commission more than anyone else in the world, the broadest range. I don't have to worry about ratings all the time. I can worry about the broadest range of stuff. I agree, though, we've got to be much better at selling that message. And I think sometimes the BBC is a little bit worried about publicising themselves. But I'm not.
But Mary, do you think that the concentration now on almost an internal reorganisation could distract the BBC from, almost having its internal revolution will make it turn inwards rather than, right at this point, it should be looking outwards? Is that your point?
Again, I don't want to hold this discussion either. But I mean, what the BBC needs to think about is how this looks to hostile commentators. And as we come up to the election, there is going to any chance at all that the press, particularly the right-wing press, will get to have a go at the BBC, they will take.
So I think that
whatever happens internally, you've got to be able to sell it to the public so that they can... You can mobilise support for the licence.
I mean, I don't think the public will care two hoots about it.
But they
will
the
about the... No, about the programmes. They won't care about the internal reorganisation of the BBC. There is internal reorganisation of the BBC every 3 weeks. So the public don't care about that. What they care about... believe me, they don't. I don't meet people who say...
I know.
But people don't come up to me and say, I want to pay the license fee, because, yes, but I don't want to because you've just reorganised in-house in Scotland. What they say is, I absolutely love your programmes. What we've got to do is make the very best programmes and, as you say, not let this put us
and off. Tell them it's value for money.
Yeah, I agree.
I think we've got some questions here. And
need to have a rest. Lee. Exhausted.
Thank you. Lee Waters from the IWA. I just want to ask about portrayal. I note what you said about you want to commission the best, which has been the standard defence of the status quo for some time. And I also note what Claire Hudson said about not sneering at the success of Doctor Who. And Doctor Who's success and Ruth Locke's success is something I think everybody in Cardiff is proud of. But going back to what Tony Hall said in his speech earlier this year, he's admitted there is a failing that the BBC is not reflecting back onto Wales what goes on in Wales, and the loyalty and fidelity of Welsh viewers towards the BBC is greater than other parts of the UK. So having said that, if there is going to be, you are saying casualty is going to be protected and Holby City protected and Doctor Who protected, which is tremendous, what potential is there to increase the representation of Wales within those programmes? Because frankly, at the minute, they're produced here and the economic benefits are palpable, and that's excellent, but they could be produced anywhere. They're not reflecting Wales in any way, and it really wouldn't interfere with the creativity a great deal to have a bit more Wales on screen.
Well, none of those are so set in Wales, so it might be hard to do that naturally without it feeling a bit strange, because obviously Holby is actually Holby.
Yeah, but it feels a bit strange watching a scene in Cardiff on Doctor Who when you're pretending it's London. So, you know, that's a slightly contrived
Sherlock's
point.
Filmed in... Well, I don't know. I mean, you know... Yeah, go on. Sue, who makes Sherlock, who's made in Wales but set in London, obviously.
Yeah, we've made Sherlock here a lot. Sherlock is supposed to be in London, so we're outside in London in the streets. We come to Wales a lot to do everything else. We can't portray Wales in there anymore. We do have some Welsh actors in there. But what we do have is an awful lot of Welsh crew, and the amount of money we pay into Wales is huge every year, you know. So I think you can't always... You've got to take Sherlock, for instance, and Doctor Who for what they are, and take the money and the amount of skill set now. You know, the series we're doing now, the amount of trainees we've got on it is huge, and we're upgrading them into different levels and do all kinds of things. And as I said, you know, millions go into Wales from the series. So I think you can't always say, yes, but where's the Welsh bit in it? You have to... I agree that there should be a portrayal, but not necessarily
should.
In all the programmes. I think we're doing a lot of the training as well, and I think, you know, some of our crew now, they're just coming off Publicum, coming back onto Sherlock, so they're working on
But also
on
shows
Welsh
being
shows.
Set somewhere where they're, but not filmed there, is a part of television ecology. You know, look at all shows in America. They're all filmed in LA pretty much, but they're all set everywhere else. So that is part of making a hugely successful, you know, creative organisation, which is what BBC Wales Drama is. But yes, you're absolutely right. Of course there should be more representation. I want there to be more representation. I'd rather do it on its own terms with integrity than tell producers of shows to force people in, which I don't think is a particularly creative decision, personally. But yeah, I'd love to be able to say, look, here's this amazing, you know, number one rated show set in Wales. I absolutely believe it's possible. You know, if Chris Chibnall was from Wales, Broadchurch would be in Wales. If Sally Wainwright was from Wales, Last Tango would be in Wales. I haven't yet found that one this year that I think is as brilliant as those, but I will. I've absolutely no doubt about it.
So we need a really strong Welsh writer, is what you seem to be saying.
Not necessarily.
Gareth wants to come in here. I think if people could get the mic. That's right, thank you.
Hi, Ben. Gareth Williams from Rondo. I just wanted to ask you a bit more about the relationship with BBC Worldwide. You know,
yeah.
Danny Cohen's already kind of suggested that that's the place for BBC productions ultimately to kind of be absorbed into. They distribute shows we make for Channel 4. They distribute them very successfully. They're investing in production. They invested in The Missing, even though that's distributed by all three, isn't it? They're pretty key to some of the new titles you've mentioned, investing a significant amount in a show like Father Brown for daytime. What's the relationship with you and Liam Keelan? How does that work in terms
dreadful.
Of...
Dreadful.
Everything's dreadful with you.
Well, that's just an old joke. I've run out of jokes. I mean, honestly, I view Worldwide in the same way I view in-house, which is they are part of what we offer. I don't see Worldwide as a distributor special any more than any other distributor. You know, it's important for me that all three media, Stars in America, HBO, that they all feel that we take them equally importantly, which I do. So obviously Worldwide, our first look for in-house, so that relationship is incredibly key. I have to say, I feel my relationship is to be relatively pragmatic and to ask the questions about, is this the best partnership? How's it going to work? BBC and Worldwide are incredibly supportive of a huge number of shows, but so are a lot of people. So for me, to have professional distance from it and to think who's the best party for the right thing, to make sure that, you know, when the production is being co-produced, that the producer isn't getting five sets of notes from opposing networks. Actually, we're in agreement. So, for example, this one, the conversation I had with AMC, let's make sure we agree with each other. We do. We both think it's right, so we can come at things in the same way. And I think that's exactly where we want to be with Worldwide. I don't know what they... I mean, obviously, they are the distributor. I don't know what role they will have in the new in-house. And as far as I understood, you probably know more, Maggie.
Well,
it's
the implication,
not finalised, is it?
No, but the implication is that if production goes into Worldwide, say drama production, in-house production, they then are kind of cheek by jowl with BBC Worldwide financing programmes. So you might see some, you might say, beneficial cross-fertilisation, but they will be in the same neck of the woods, which could, you seem to be suggesting, maybe even unduly benefit the former BBC production units. Yes, it does. Yes, I agree with you. Yes, of course.
Sorry, I want to come back to the point about portrayal, which Lee raised, because you've left yourself off the hook too easily. And frankly, you sound like Alan Yentob in 1994.
Oh, don't say
you
that.
You do. And what I mean by that is, 20 years ago for Mark Thompson, I did a piece of work which showed that 1% of BBC factual programming was made outside England, 99% was made in England. And Alan Yentob said, I can't do anything about it. I've got to commission the best ideas. I can't do anything else. That's my job. And do you know what? Every year, 99% came from England and 1% came from Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland put together, until the BBC made a policy decision to put a quota on it. And creative people hate quotas, but they're the only way that things change.
Oh, I don't agree. I really don't agree.
Well, are you not wondering why Hinterland, a Gwyll, came to you as an acquisition, not as part of your in-house? Should you not have been involved in that from the very beginning?
We actually turned it down.
Well, doesn't that make you question...
No, because we had a lot of male-led detective shows on BBC One, and we decided that we didn't have it at the same time as Shetland.
Well,
but that wasn't in-house.
But
that
the
was
fact of the matter is, you stood here and said, I haven't found the show in Wales this year, you didn't find it last year, you didn't find it the year before. Nobody in the BBC has found it for the last 15 years. And you're telling me that that can't change by a policy decision.
It can change. I don't believe it would be the right policy. I don't believe a creative organisation is built on quotas. I think if that's where we get to, I think it's very sad.
Well,
I think
well,
that
all I'll it's, say is
well, let me finish my point.
Well, in the factual case,
yep.
We now have 17% made outside Scotland.
Well,
Wales,
we have, I mean,
successfully.
The majority of our drama is made out,
yes,
of out
course.
Of London.
And that
obviously.
is a quota.
Yeah. No, it is. I don't necessarily support more quotas because I don't believe it's serving... I don't believe it's serving creativity. I don't believe it's serving audiences. I think once you have one quota, I think it's very difficult to stop all quotas. I already have a huge number of quotas. It becomes hugely limiting. I think that if... I just don't believe it's necessary, I'm afraid. What I believe is that the more you talk about it, it will happen. And I'm afraid I disagree with your sort of, oh, well, it's just you talking about it, it won't happen. 5 years ago, all the conversations about diversity were about women on BBC One. Where are the women's roles? Everyone said to me, let's do a quota. I said no. I said, let's just talk about it. Let's make it a priority. And this year, there is not a single person talking about, you know, the representation of women on BBC One because we've had, or BBC Two, because we've had Maggie Gyllenhaal, we've had Sarah Lancashire, and we've had... Keely Hawes, extraordinary female roles. And that has not come from a quota, and I do not believe in quotas. I do not believe... We can't be the best broadcaster
the
in the
is, Ben,
world
Ben,
whilst
the point
having
is,
quotas.
Listen, the point is, and
it's
a
just
good
my
one...
Opinion.
I know, it's a good one. But the things that you're talking about, women's roles, older women, those were really, really ventilated in the national press. They became a cause célèbre. The question of whether you have Wales represented on screen is a matter that's obviously of great concern to people in Wales. The rest of the United Kingdom don't really think about it, but if they saw it on television, they would probably like it. So where is the lever to
I
get
guess
those
I
dramas?
Suppose
that's
my
what you're really
I
saying.
Suppose
if you
my
don't
worry
have a
quota,
is
you do it for Wales and you base it on a percentage of that population, then you have to do it for the, you know, in truth, the most unrepresented place on television with the lowest amount of approval is London. So you'd have to do it for London. You'd have to do it for South England. You'd have to do it for Cornwall. You'd have to do it for North East. You know, you can't. You have to do it for everything. And suddenly you have a matrix where the last thing that anyone cares about is a good programme, and the more that anyone cares about. And then what happens is you commission ideas and you tell people to set them in places. So you say, you know how you've written it set in blah, do you actually mind setting it in Cornwall because we need to hit that quota? And that is where you end up. And we can pretend that that's not where we end up, but it is where we end up, because before we... about 5 or 6 years ago, that's what was happening. We were lifting and shifting shows in order to make the guarantees and in order to make the quota something I've ended. I just don't. I totally respect your opinion. I totally understand where you're coming from. Totally see why you're frustrated. I'm sure I would be frustrated. I believe we can do it organically. I can see why you don't believe that. But I don't believe that quotas is going to be the way to make great television in the end.
Okay. It's Paul Slynn-Thomas from Boom Group. I think, as somebody committed to working broadcasting in Wales for a long time, we're all keen on representation, as we've all discussed. It's a big issue for us all, whether it's in factual programmes, whether it's in drama. We want to get our voice heard. We want a distinctive voice, as you do.
Yeah.
And I think, to be honest, I share both arguments here, because ultimately, as you've already said, you want to get excellence on the screen. It's about the best possible dramas. Sally Wainwright is a fantastic writer, as we know. She writes in lots of different ways. When she writes, perhaps, in my view, at her best, she writes about what she knows. Last Tango is a fantastic piece of work written about a place she knows. Happy Valley is a fantastic piece of work written about a place she knows. The dialogue, the characters, the colour of those characters, the way those characters interact, all paint the picture of that place brilliantly. Now, obviously, in a Welsh context, we have similar characters. We have similar language, we have a difference, we have a uniqueness. And the question really is, it's about, I suspect, finding that sort of universal appeal, that universal meaning in a piece. I suppose we want to give our writers a bit of help here, because there are brilliant writers in Wales, of course there are. And I'm sure there's some fantastic development going on in this area of finding that piece that really tries to define Wales, in a network context, that brings the big audiences, that nails it. And there hasn't been that piece. You know, John is right.
I agree. Yeah.
In factual programmes, we've tried to do that too. And we've done that, by the way, through partnerships between the broadcasters, between SVOC and the BBC. We've done things to try and up representation. It's kind of happened to a point in factual programmes. Call centre is an example, as others. But so to help move it along, because we've got to get somewhere and fight about it, I suppose, what is it that we should be doing to encourage our producers? And I suspect Bethan, internally here, has got a lot of insight on this. But we all want to try and find that answer.
Of course you do, of course. Bethan, do you want to?
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's a lady at the back.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I mean, there's quotas, and we do hit a quota for what we make here.
You exceed your
which
quota.
Is different. To quotas on portrayal, which I think is really difficult. I think portrayal is something that I'm very concerned about, and we're constantly working with writers from Wales and sometimes writers not from Wales on ideas that we want to develop set in Wales. We don't always get it right, we don't always get there, but we are constantly working on it, and we're also working with younger writers and through the Drama Award to bring on some really exciting new young Welsh writers. But it's a journey, and we're on it. I think the other thing is portrayal of Wales isn't just Wales's job. I mean, I'm just thinking about Our Girl, where Ewan was the lead in that, and that was a Wales portrayal. It was an element of it.
It's also quite interesting that, you know, certain things, what we've tried to set in Wales, we've tried to get leads from Wales, but they haven't been available to us. So it's not that we're not trying. There's an awful lot of great cast out there who are really busy on a number of shows. And if we want to hit that top level, which we do, with all our writers and with our shows and with our cast, then we're going to wait for the right moment and we're going to wait for the right project. And it's fantastic that Hinterland has done so well. Of course it is. It's brilliant. And we are, you know, constantly working with indies in Wales, with indies outside Wales, and on our in-house slate to develop those voices. Yes, we're slow, but then it's a long process. And then we've then got to convince Ben that we're making the best possible work. So, you know, yeah, blame me, by all means. I'm happy to take that. But it's all of us in this room, frankly, that we've all got to step up to the mark and make that work better.
Can you get the microphone back to the lady? No, she's been waiting for a long time. Sorry, I don't know your name. I'm sure I should. Thank you.
Diolch yn fawr. I'm very patient, don't worry. It's going back to the point from the gentleman from the IWA. I think there is an issue about portrayal. And I do find very often the way that producers and writers in Wales are talked about it is very patronising. In the sense that when BBC Wales was doing a lot of the drama productions, a lot of them were produced outside of Wales with no Wales talent apart from, you know, maybe an executive producer. But that was needed apparently because we needed to get Wales out there. But Wales has been doing network productions for many years across the BBC and ITV. And in an RTS meeting last year, I mean, Rhodri Tal Van Davis admitted that in this difficult climate that he had to have that the BBC felt that they had to go for safe bets like Steve Moffat and what they were offering, rather than offering sort of other writers based in the nations and regions the opportunities. And that's what Rhodri said last year. And again, ITV said last year that they would be looking at doing network drama across the UK, but Wales hasn't had any network drama from ITV Wales for many years, so I'll be interested to hear what ITV Wales said. And in terms, again, of portrayal, I think one of the biggest losses in the last couple of years was Torchwood. It was so successful. Mm. And what was good about Torchwood, it had an international appeal, but it wasn't frightened to portray maybe Wales in a sort of quirky sort of way, but it was a modern, quirky way. And unfortunately, that went off to America and then was murdered. You know, that's such a shame, because that could have gone on for a long time. And I think my final point is about crews. I mean, when production companies first come into Wales, they tend to bring their heads of departments from outside of Wales, and that means they bring their teams. The situation is getting better, but I think I have a little bit of a concern that is it true that Sherlock is going to be moving to Bristol in its next production? Merlin, for example, moved from sort of, I think it started off in London, moved to Cardiff, and now is weeding its way back to London, going across the border. So I'm just thinking about what is the sustainability in terms of drama in Wales, and what opportunities are there going to be for homegrown talent, as well as the talented people coming from outside?
I think Bethan's got a few points to make, possibly.
There's a gentleman.
Let's just let Bethan, because she's across all of those shows mentioned, so she can. Can we just get the microphone to the front here?
I think there are some misconceptions there, because obviously Merlin isn't made anymore, and it was always made in Wales. It started off in London for I think 3 episodes while it was being set up in Wales, so it wasn't moved to Wales. It was always the intention to make it in Wales, but we didn't have the studios ready in time, so that was simple as that. And of course Atlantis is also made in Wales. Sherlock is made in Wales. The production office, the company, Hartswood West, are set in Wales. It just so happens with some productions, your office will be there, but your location might be over the border. So that happens a lot. But that, you know, that happens in all productions in the sense of you're looking for the best location. Sometimes Doctor Who will shoot, you know, in somewhere. Sue Virtue lives in Wales. And her production, there's no movement then. There's no studio at the moment. It's a complete, we're doing the special in January, and that's what, 4 weeks?
Yeah,
and that's in
Bristol.
And the reason it's based in Bristol for the special is that we don't have a running studio available for Sue to move into, because for 4 weeks practically it doesn't make sense to set up a whole telephony, you know, a whole setup studio and give it, you know, insulate it. You can't afford to do that on a 4 week shoot. It's as simple as that. But then we've got the series coming up later. And we will be, believe me, I am hounding her on a daily basis. She doesn't get off lightly.
I guess just in terms of the safe bet thing, I don't really believe that, I'm afraid, because I think if you look at, sorry to mention The Missing again, but those are two brothers who have never written any drama before, and it's an 8-hour BBC One. I don't think I've commissioned them in 8 hours. And they're 30, it's their first drama. So in terms of, you know, I mean, no one is a safe bet. Certainly not Stephen Moffat, but no one is a safe bet, and I don't care whose name is on the front of the script. If it's a good script, great. Dominic Mitchell, who won the BAFTA, you know, we commission one show a year on BBC Three. I commissioned Dominic Mitchell. He had literally never written a script before. So if the script is brilliant, it is not about safe bets. I do not get the audience say to me, well, I didn't enjoy that, but at least it was a safe bet. What the audience will say is, well, that was shit, or it was really good, and I try to go for the really good ones. And a new writer is as capable of writing a new one, I give you Jack and Harry Williams, as you know, Peter Moffat or Stephen Moffat or any of the other Moffats or Sally. So I don't. My attitude really is not about a safe bet. There's no such thing as a safe bet, and I don't believe the bets we've made are remote. It certainly doesn't feel safe. I think I feel much less anxious.
So it's
if it was
a shame
safe.
The Williams they've got the right name, but they come from Wimbledon, don't they? So there's a gentleman at the back.
From ITV Wales. Just to make an observation, actually, that people in this room might be forgiven for thinking that the only broadcaster who produces good drama is the BBC.
Good point.
I would just like to follow up a point made earlier by a delegate here with regards to dramas from ITV, from Wales on ITV. Only last October, Peter Fincham, at the instigation of ITV Wales, was invited to Cardiff, where he came along and met a group of the independent sector and made very much this very strong message that ITV is very much open for business for high-quality drama from Wales, and that actual offer still remains. But it very much is related to quality and the ideas that actually can translate very, very well into onto a commercial network like ITV, which does produce very, very high-quality dramas, and I'm sure people will agree. However, it's also worth noting that the actual response has not been that huge with regards to responses to Peter's offer. So it's very much a case of ITV is very much open to business for good quality drama, so come and talk to us.
So why haven't they?
I don't know.
Anybody here?
Well,
the independent sector was represented at the meeting. All the top indies were there.
But TAC, for instance, wasn't informed about it.
Well, the top independent sector were there. John Garrett was there, a number of people. So that... Sorry? Let's have another one. We'd be very happy to do so.
Rodri Talvin-Davis, director of BBC Wales. A couple of comments. I mean, one comment and one question to Ben, really. A comment first is, I think, to echo what Claire said, I think sometimes... we can talk as if we've forgotten the extraordinary journey that Welsh production has gone on in the last 10 years. And actually, the defining quality of BBC Wales drama in the last 10 years has been that it hasn't been a safe bet. These have been colossal creative bets that have been placed. And they haven't just paid off in Wales and the UK, they've paid off globally. And we shouldn't forget that. The constraint, which I think is what I was slightly being misquoted on earlier, is that... In terms of investment in local programming, Ben, I think one of the concerns is those early rungs for writers. That in a sense, particularly in English language, in Welsh language, Pobl y Cwm provides a very significant stable for writers to cut their teeth. But in the English language, in a sense, unless we can do significant co-productions like Hinterland with partners like S4C or All Three Media, it's network or bust. And I wonder to what extent that is a worry for you in terms of maintaining the talent pipeline of writing into network drama.
Yeah, it's not really, because I think that I think there is more talent coming now than there has ever been. I mean, one interesting thing is comparing, we did some facts and figures, comparing the output of BBC drama now to 1982, there's 300 more hours. I mean, it's extraordinary. And what's replaced it was acquisitions. So acquisitions on BBC One used to be about 300 hours. Mm-hmm. Star Trek prime time, and it's gone like that. There is not an hour in prime time now of acquisitions apart from films. And drama's gone like that. So we forget that actually us, ITV, Channel 4, Sky, we are investing more in drama than we have done ever as a business. It's, you know, it's a £1 billion business, drama in this country. So there are so many opportunities. I don't know, I think people come through different things, and I think what's becoming much more standardised is that what's right for you as a writer to learn your craft. So it may be that going through EastEnders, and obviously we have an amazing record of extraordinary people coming through that, you know, all of Holby, all of that. For some people, though, they'd rather die than do that. And then you've got an incredibly, you know, robust theatre sector across the country that produces extraordinary plays. They now come over. You look at, and then you look at people coming from comedy like Jack and Harry or Hugo Blick, who've worked in comedy and come up. I feel that there are more opportunities being taken. I also think if you look at the commissions across the board, whether it's the people I've mentioned, whether it's Daisy Coulam, who wrote Grantchester for ITV, whether it's some of the people Channel 4 are working with, new writers are getting their first series when they've never created their own thing at a relatively young age. And I think that's incomparable to where we've been in the past. So we can always do better, and it's always a good question to ask. And I would like to see more dramas with more multi-episodic writers.
But isn't Rodri also addressing the point that Ken Skates, the Minister for Culture, I think, or is he the deputy? I'm not quite sure. Anyway, earlier he said that there were no... at the moment, BBC Wales isn't able to make drama for BBC Wales network, and is that the problem? The
English language. I think what's actually happened is more complex in the sense that with less money, you work smarter. So, a Poet in New York is a classic example of BBC Network and BBC Wales coming together. Hinterland is an example of S4C and BBC Wales coming together. Indian Doctor is BBC Worldwide, BBC Daytime, and BBC Wales working together. Yeah. There is drama. The notion that BBC Wales isn't producing portrayal drama about Wales, that's a fallacy. We can discuss the magnitude of it and whether it's enough, but it's out there. But I think what Ken's putting his finger on is that it's the licence fee. When we come back to the licence fee, there is a huge decision coming down the line in maybe 12 months, probably 24 months' time, and probably the biggest decision the BBC has faced in a generation. Where we have to make a decision about how much we believe in the concept of public service broadcasting and the unique value it delivers, not just to Wales, to the UK. And we need to make that argument very, very confidently.
We also need the industry to make it.
We do.
I mean, I was publicly the only person, I think, in Edinburgh to mention the licence fee. And I have to say, I went and said to them afterwards, I don't understand this. I think the industry is living in a fantasy world, because it is, you know, the BBC is the biggest single employer of artists, writers in the country, and it's under threat. And I find it extraordinary that, of course, we should all have a robust conversation about what the BBC is, but literally, if I read one more old white man of the BBC complaining about the BBC where they've worked for ages, I don't know what I'll do, but I do think there's an industry.
Would you go and mug Jeremy Paxman?
No, I won't do that. But I do think the industry, people who work at the BBC and people who don't work at the BBC, have to say, for all its faults, we are on a precipice. Yeah. And the more that we point, we should absolutely have robust conversations like this, but then externally, we've got to, as you say, articulate the strength of the licence fee, or else the only conversation we're going to be having in 2 years is, what should we not do anymore, and which one of us should we not?
Just to echo that, and I don't want to hog it, I think it's a really key point, because we have discussions about English language, local television in Wales, we talk about the need for S4C to have sufficient funding in future. All roads lead back to the licence fee. And we mustn't forget this. In all the specific, distinctive arguments we make about Wales, in the end, all of the decision-making hinges on a decision taken on the licence fee next time around. and we mustn't forget that bigger picture.
I think we've got...
I agree. I completely agree. That's what my job is.
We've got 5 minutes now. If you want to ask a question, ask it now. And then that gentleman there. Sorry. And the gentleman there.
Just a small point. I don't want you to go home thinking...
Well, who are you, by the way?
Peter Edwards. Yes. That no drama is made from Wales. I mean, if you look what the film agency has done over the years, and, you know, there's a great film out now about Dylan Thomas as well... There's Niall Griffiths' film, there's Submarine and so on. So there's obviously a process there which works. I mean, Film Agency for Wales, Film Cymru now, has a tiny budget, but it is doing something with Indigenous writers and Indigenous companies. Just a tiny other point to make as well. I'm, as I'm sure a lot of us are, uncertain about quotas. Because, you know, I'm Welsh, but I'm also a citizen of the world. I don't want to be restricted to just making films about Wales.
No. Good point. Gentlemen here, if you could have the microphone.
There's also a lady behind you.
Yes, I know.
There's
lots of people.
Hi, Ed Talvan, producer. I just wanted to ask the question. You're in charge of £250 million a year, your drama budget, and in an increasingly devolved UK, I was just wondering whether that, I mean, there's no doubt in the quality of the output, but whether that makes you ever feel personally uncomfortable that there is one individual sitting on such an enormous chunk of cash.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because no one ever says that about any other broadcaster or film industry in the world. So I guess it's, do we want to be managed differently to the way that any other broadcaster is in the world? You could do it. I don't believe it would be the right thing to do. I'm not going to be here forever, so let's see what happens then. But, you know... HBO's one person, Stars is one. I don't know. You know, yeah, you could absolutely do it differently.
I suppose the question is partly because of the obvious feelings in the room and the feelings about cultural representation.
Listen, I'm a gay man. There aren't any gay men on television. So I do slightly start to get to the point where you go, well, it's obviously you're commissioning for your own personal taste. And I believe the most unrepresented diversity on television is homosexuality. That's me. I ain't commissioning it. So I do think at a time we've got to start looking beyond ourselves and start assuming that, well, I'm only interested in things that are about me.
But would you commission it if a good script came up?
Then? No, I don't want the gays on television.
Now, there's a lady behind who's been very
God,
patient.
No.
And I think that's probably... I think
why
we have
do you think
to
Torchwood's
up?
Not there? Far too Welsh and gay. I hate them both. Come on.
Come on, let's have the question.
Hi, I just wondered what your relationship was with BBC Films, especially because over here in Wales, you know, Film Cymru has a very, very small budget and they really, really try to stretch it and encourage new talent coming through. And as far as I know and as far as I'm aware of the kinds of projects they're doing, they're not necessarily Welsh-based, you know, they're just... kinds of things that you're talking about, which is great projects.
Well, we sit near each other in our hot desk zones, and we liaise across our hot desk collaboration zones. They make some stuff for us, actually, and if there's some films that they don't feel they can get made, they'll give me to have a look at. Actually, we're making one at the moment. So it's quite a good relationship in those terms. I can't speak for them. I don't know. I'm afraid I don't know what their strategy is. Obviously, they are both, you know, they're a very different commissioning body to everyone else at the BBC because they can't greenlight something by themselves because of the money involved. So it's a very complex.
Right. Okay. Well,
I don't know.
Just final question from me. I'm going to. Are you thinking of stepping down from being?
No.
I thought you said suddenly I won't be here forever.
Well, I won't be. I will die. And also, yeah, I don't. No, I'm not intending to be here in 50 years, no.
Fine. So, okay, now I just thought I ought to just ask you
yes,
if you had
I'm
some
going
other ambitions.
To,
I mean, you might have ambitions to run BBC Two, BBC One.
No, I don't. I've said very publicly, I don't want to run any channels.
Because you love your job.
Yeah, and channels not for me, but there are other brilliant people. I don't want to do that. No, I like drama and writers. I don't want to get away from that.
Okay, listen, I think on behalf of everybody here, I think we've just said. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.